So let's go in the scriptures today. Today is a very interesting and instructive place of scripture for all of us. The topic of today's message is the blessing of obedience and consequences of disobedience. Let's say together, the blessing of obedience. Yeah, we want to be blessed by the Lord for sure. Amen. Who wants a blessing from the Lord? I mean, it's a simple question. Not everyone raised their hands. Probably somebody is thinking, okay. Maybe it's the tricky question. No, we all want to be blessed by the Lord. Because of this, we are here in this place. We want a blessing from the Lord in our lives. So let's see what we can learn from today's reading from the Torah. Let's open Leviticus chapter 9. And we'll read verse 1 and verse 2. Now it happened on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron, his sons, and the elders of Israel. Then he said to Aaron, take a calf from the herd for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, both without blemish, and offer them before Adonai. And let's start with verse 22. Then Aaron, it's after he already brought the sacrifices, he went out of Mishkana. Then Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and blessed them. Then he stepped down from presenting the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offerings. Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came back out and blessed the people, the glory of Adonai appeared to all the people. Again, the glory of Adonai, the glory of the Lord. Fire came out from the presence of Adonai and devoured the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Again, glory of the Lord, power of the Lord, his weight, his presence there. Fire came out from Adonai's presence and burnt up the offering. The people shouted and fell down in the presence of the Lord. I think it was really hard to stand up in the presence of the Lord because he was there. His presence was there. Because Aaron obeyed the Lord and did everything according to his commandments, and it appears that where there was a tremendous power in his obedience to Adonai. Because Aaron obeyed the Lord and did everything according to his word, the Lord came. He delivers a blessing over the people of Israel. The key was that obedience of Aaron to the Lord. Aaron did exactly what the Lord had commanded, and the consequence was a spectacular visitation of the Lord to the Jewish people, people of Israel. For us, what can we take for us today? I like always to apply these lessons in our lives today. For us as well, when we are obedient to God, we will experience the blessing and the glory of God in our lives. For sure, 100%. In lives of our families and in our ministry, obedience to God promotes reward. If you obey the Lord is always there to bless you. It is very important to remember, and I can see that everybody's quiet right now. Probably it's the difficult message right now. What part difficult? Obedience or blessings? Yeah, when we obey the Lord want to bless us abundantly. But let's read from next chapter. And please remember that when the Torah was written, they hadn't yet invented chapters at that time. Torah scroll has no chapters in it. It is the scroll. So Leviticus 10. So the next after the glory of Adonai fell down and the people of Israel were in the presence of the Lord, right next thing happened to them. Now Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, each took his own censer, put fire in it, laid incense over it and offer it an authorized fire before Adonai, which he had not commanded them. So, do you know what happened next? I mean, who read the Torah? Don't raise your hand. If you don't read it, you don't know. But for all of us who know, we can continue. So fire came out from the presence of Adonai and consumed them, Nadab and Abihu. So they died before Adonai. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what Adonai spoke of, saying, 'To those who are near me, I will show myself holy.' Upon the faces of all people, all the people, I will be glorified." Then Aaron kept silent. What a story. What a story. In the first case, the Lord descended on the altar and burned the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord came upon Mishkan, a tent of meeting. People were amazed by the glory of the Lord, and everybody survived that moment. Everything was okay with people. In the second case, the fire fell on the priests and consumed them. Not the sacrifice, but them. In both cases, I would like to read carefully here. In both cases, the Lord descended in glory. His glory showed up in both cases, in the first case and in the second case. In glory, in fire, and he was glorified. People of Israel were amazed by the presence and the power of the Lord in the first case and in the second case. He came. It has occurred to me that in the absence of sacrifice, they became the sacrifice. The same way, because of our sins and disobedience, the price must be paid for us so we can be alive in the presence of the Lord today. And you know that Yeshua became our price. He died for us. He took this punishment on himself. He paid the price so we can be today in his presence, in the presence of the Lord. I have very interesting questions for all of us today. Please, please think about this carefully. There is a very significant question to be asked of ourselves. How can the Lord be glorified in my life? According to this story, both cases, the glory of the Lord came. So how can the Lord be glorified in my life today? We know that the Bible calls him the consuming fire, because our Lord, he is consuming fire. Let's say together, consuming fire. Yeah, we call him my friend, everything, but he also consuming fire. And it's good to be a friend with consuming fire. It's good to be a friend with consuming fire. Will he descend in his glory on my sacrifice and glorify himself by blessing me? Will my spirits be all fired up by the Lord? Or will I just take a burn? Will my construction just go up in smoke? Let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. And some people said this was in the Old Testament, this is the New Testament. You know, I'd like to say that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever the same. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 through 15. And I will start reading from verse 12, actually. "Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed by fire, and the fire itself will test each one's work, what sort it is. If anyone's work built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but as through fire." When I read this place of scripture, very important thought came to me. It does not matter what material you are using today, because everything will go through fire of God. We won't escape. Everyone. We need to build with good material to sustain, to survive, to go forward through the fire. You may not immediately suffer the same fate as the sons of Aaron, but you will still take a burn. So let's find what was the difference between the ministry of Aaron and the ministry of his sons, Nadab and Abihu. Let's compare their ministries. Let's find what was the difference between them. So first case, Aaron did everything exactly as the Lord commanded him, everything. He was obedient. He obeyed the Lord. All in due time, with the right sacrifices and with the fire taken from the altar on which the sacrifice were offered. It was an important part, fire from the sacrificial altar. That fire on the altar was a special fire, always attended by a priest and never allowed to die. It was the work of priests to keep fire on the sacrifice altar. It's a very important part. It was the only fire which had an aroma pleasing to the Lord, the fire from the altar. Here come Nadab and Abihu in the second case. Free spirits who entered the tabernacle in a tipsy state, paying no attention to the Lord's directions, bearing a strange fire. We can read about it. They brought a strange fire. And certainly, this was no way to approach Adonai. This was no way. This is why the Lord had cautioned Aaron. And let's read Leviticus chapter 10, verse 8. Let's open together and read it together. It's the same chapter, right after they died before the Lord. Adonai spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine or fermented drink, neither you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, so that you do not die. This is to be a statute forever throughout your generations. You are to make a distinction between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean." So, there are a few opinions among scholars about the exact nature of what happened there to cause the death of Nadab and Abihu. And I would like to share a couple of those. I don't want to go deep, but just a couple of those. First, one is that it was of the result of drunkenness state, which verses 9 and 10 infers. Probably they were drunk. I mean, from when we read verse 8, 9, and 10, the Lord, he warns Aaron, said, "Don't drink when you go into the presence of the Lord." Don't do this. You need to be in good state and able to understand what's holy, what's not. Be careful. So probably they were drunk, probably. It's one of the theories. Another is that they entered without any sacrifice. They decided to skip sacrifice part. They just came in right into the presence of the Lord with no sacrifice, with a strange fire. And Leviticus 10, verse 18 speaks about it. "Look, its blood was not brought into the inner part of the sanctuary. You certainly should have eaten it in the sanctuary as I commanded." So it's another opinion that why they died, because they didn't bring the sacrifice. Still another opinion is that perhaps even the sacrifice itself was not the one the Lord has specified. So they do shortcut to the Lord. They took something away and decided to run into the presence of the Lord. The sons of Aaron brought sacrifices that were wrong on every count. The Lord was not happy with their sacrifice. And it is obvious. It's no question. He wasn't happy with their sacrifices. So what a lesson for us. Clearly, faith, justification, forgiveness, redemption, they all depended on the altar, the fire, the sacrifice, and obedience to the commandments regarding the entire sacrificial process. Everything depends on the sacrifice on altar. This is the only way to the Lord, into his presence. Let's read a great example from the book of Isaiah. It is Isaiah chapter 6, starting with verse 1. One of my favorites, and also Esther's favorite place of scripture. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw Adonai sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. One called out to another and said, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot, holy, holy, holy is Adonai Tzevaot. The whole earth is full of his glory. Then the post of the door trembled at the voice of those who called. Can you imagine how beautiful, how strong it was there? And the house was filled with smoke, with the presence of the Lord. And verse 5, look at the Isaiah, his response. Then I said, in Hebrew, Oy vey. You know, when I hear about, I was in the presence of the Lord, it was tickling, you know, it was beautiful, it was relaxing. I get such a great experience. Oh, Isaiah, he had different kind of experience. He said, Oy vey, I'm finished, I'm done. This is my last moment. Thank you, Lord. I love this. Oy vey, oy to me, for I'm ruined. I'm more than dead. I'm ruined. I'm complete. I'm finished. Actually, it was the moment of his repentance, I think. It's like in our lives, when we came to the Lord, it was the moment in my life when I said, Lord, I'm finished. I need you. I'm a sinner. Nothing can I do without you. Only you are my saved salvation. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I am dwelling among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, Adonai Tzevaot, Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a glowing coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins atoned for. The purpose of the fire and the sacrifice on the altar was to atone for sin. This is the purpose of altar. His iniquity was taken away and his sin was atoned for. Iniquity also can be translated as crime, lawlessness, guilt, and punishment. So the Lord took away not only Isaiah's sins, but also a punishment and guilt for his sins. You need to remember that. When Yeshua came into your life, he not only forgave your sins, but he took away punishment, guilt. This feeling of guilt, self-judgment, he take it away from you because he forgave you completely. He touched your lips by the sacrifice of Yeshua the Messiah. What a great example for us. Isaiah was there. He was the same Isaiah. He didn't do anything. He said, Oy vey, I'm complete. I'm done. I'm cooked. Goodbye, my life. And then he was saved. How can this lesson be applied to us today? It's very important to remember Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By his will, by the Lord's will, we have been made holy. Let's say together, we have been made holy. It's not from you. How can you be holy? You have been made holy. Through the offering of the body of Messiah Yeshua once for all, you have been made holy by the Lord. Verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Yeshua. Boldness, this is a great word. The same time is the humbleness before the Lord. And this is the position that Lord gave you to come into his presence. Sons of Aaron, they decided to go around this direction, around sacrifice. And they died in the presence of the Lord. He inaugurated a new and living way for us through this curtain, that is his flesh. Let us hold fast the unveiling confession of hope, for he who promised is faithful. Let's say, he who promised is faithful. So your forgiveness is not from you, it's from him. And he is faithful. And our faith belongs to him and rests in him, in Yeshua. The only way to the Father is through Yeshua, the Son. All your attempts to come to God by some other ways are doomed to failure. So, story with Nadab and Abihu, it was the prophetic story, story of future Messiah who needs to come and take away sins of the world. Remember that the Lord is the consuming fire. Therefore, the lesson of Nadab and Abihu is an example for all of us that without the sacrifice of Yeshua, the Messiah, there is no salvation and justification, but only the expectation of a judgment from God. No way, only through Yeshua. So we have a couple more minutes and we have 10 more pages. What can we do here? But let's take a couple very important examples for our life today. Very important lessons for us. Why did Adonai reject the service of Nadab and Abihu? Why did they die? The first, it's my impression from this place of scripture, but I would like to share with you. Wrong motive is in service to the Lord. They had the wrong motive. Last verse, chapter 9 of Leviticus. Fire came out from the presence of Adonai and devoured the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. What a glorious moment. Aaron, he glorified the Lord, and the Lord showed up. He came, and he blessed Aaron, and Aaron became to be famous in the face of Israel. The Lord put his stamp on the ministry of Aaron. Therefore, Nadab and Abihu also decided to present an offering to the Lord so that the Lord would reveal his glory through them, the same way as he revealed through his father, their father. In previous chapters of the Torah, we can find that Nadab and Abihu ate in the presence of the Lord on the mountain and lived. You remember that place when the Lord gave 10 commandments, they ate in the presence of the Lord and everything was fine with them. So they thought that the Lord is pleased with them and all will be fine because they are special to the Lord. No problem. We already ate in the presence of the Lord. What a problem. We are survived. He was with us. We saw him. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. It was a false decision. Wrong decision. In other words, they wanted God to come down and bless something that he had not instructed them to do. It was their will. They wanted God to smile upon their plans and their ambitions. And it's a bad idea to bring to the Lord our ambitions. He's never blessing our ambitions. They choose not to listen or not to follow God's words. Exactly, but to serve him in their own way, expecting God to show his glory on their own ideas. And they came without sacrifice or with wrong sacrifice. It doesn't work that way. We cannot expect to serve the Lord by bringing our own ambitions to him, our own inclinations to his altar. It is he alone who decides how he will be served. Only he. Truth is that spirit and flesh have always opposed each other. And at the moment we repent of our sins, at the very moment, a deadly battle begins within us between, on the one hand, our old selves, our habits, way of thinking, our old character, and on the other hand, a new person within us, a person born of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. So to which side will you be true? Every day, in fact, moment by moment, we must make that decision in our lives. Who will serve? Our old selves or the Lord? It is good to understand. The second reason, carelessness in serving God. In order for the priest to enter the sanctuary, it was necessary that they bring a certain sacrifice. And only then, having taken fire from the altar on which this sacrifice was offered, was it possible to enter the holy place. Only then, after everything correctly done. Nadab and Abihu took someone else's fire, did not bring the intended sacrifice, and entered God's presence. They decided to take a shortcut to God. I remember when I was in the college, we had to run some distance, you know. And the best thing we can do is to do shortcuts, you know. Everybody's so tired and you are fresh, you know. You're first, you're strong. You can do it everywhere except with the Lord. Do not do shortcuts. Be obedient to the Lord. Jeremiah 48, verse 10. Cursed is the one who does the work of Adonai with slackness. Cursed is the one who does the work of Adonai with slackness. Slackness to be interpreted as carelessly or casual. Carelessly. It doesn't matter. It is good. I will do. Lord will be happy with me. Anyway. Please read this place of scripture about Nadab and Abihu. It is a very strong place. Faith in God is a very serious thing. It is not just a sideline or a pastime diversion. The Lord requires our whole heart and our whole life. A believer's faith is full-time for a lifetime. We are believers in the nighttime, in the morning time, in the evening time. We are believers on Saturday for sure. And we are beautiful believers on Saturday, specifically between 10:30 to 11:30. This is kind of the best time of our faith. But please remember, tomorrow we are believers also. The same way. So, Avery, I don't have time to read everything, but I would like to read a beautiful place of scripture, Matthew 13. And this is one of the best pictures about the kingdom of God in our lives. Matthew 13, verse 44, 45, 46. I would like to read from 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching the fine pearls. Husbands can ask their wives, is it important or not, the fine pearls? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. Upon finding a pearl of great value, he went out and sold all that he had and bought it. This is the kingdom of God. This is the attitude in the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is the pearl in our lives. When you find it, we want to sell everything we have to have it. I remember when I came to the Lord for the first time, I felt like mountain came up out of my shoulders. It was such a feeling of relief. The Lord is so real because he's forgiven. He's loving. Such a tremendous honor and privilege in ours. We who serve the Father and the Son with our whole lives. We are so favored and we hold such a great responsibility. If you are a believer, then live like a believer. What you promise God, give him with all your heart. We all call to serve the Lord, to be his ambassadors in this dying world. And we can't escape this high calling by not doing our part. We can't escape. we are called by the Lord. Please allow the fire of God to burn in your hearts, inside of you. Let His Spirit flow through your life and minister to others who live around you. Let it be true in your life, and you will be blessed. And remember, the Lord always ready to bless those who obey Him. He's always. I really don't have time to go forward for the next time. So let us pray. Let us open our hearts and really ask the Lord to help us to be obedient to Him, to follow His ways. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord, to remember your graciousness, your presence, your love, your mercy towards us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be obedient to you, Lord. Help us to follow you. Help us to shine with your light, Lord. Thank you so much. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. Amen. Let us close with Aaron's blessing. Let us stand and receive this prayer together. Yevrechacha Adonai veishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Love you so much. Thank you for being here. Shabbat shalom.